Well, hello and welcome. I appreciate you being here today to study God's Word. I admire you for honoring your Lord and my Lord and our Lord. There's only one God, one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the Living God, the God of the Bible, the King James Bible. And that's what we use in this study, and I pray that you got you one. We don't make any apologies for reading the Word of God and believing the Word of God. And if don't ever get to where you allow anybody to try to talk you out of your Bible, because that is all over the place in Christendom today. There's over 200 other versions that's been put out besides the King James Bible, and all of them are from different texts than what your King James Bible is from. And we grew up on the King James Bible, and just ask God the Holy Ghost if that King James Bible is God's Word, and then do what He says. That's what you do. I know what the Word of God is, and I know it is indeed the living Word of God. It lives and it abides forever. I don't just believe it. I know it. I know it is. I'm staking my soul on what that book says. I'm staking my soul on what God's words say in that book. And you're staking yours on something. A lot of people tell you that a lot of those other books attack the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and say He was not the Son of God, and said that, and a lot of them say that there were two separate gods, that God the Father was a God and God the Son was a different God. And a lot of them deny the virgin birth. A lot of them, all kinds of garbage goes on in them things. And you don't have to give anybody any excuse of why you use the King James Bible. If God the Holy Ghost has testified in your heart that that is His Word, and God does identify with His own Word, He's not ashamed of it one bit. If He has identified with you that that is God's Word, then you stay with it, and don't you be ashamed of it, and don't let nobody talk you out of it, and don't make any excuse for using it. And there's no, the Bible says that those that come unto Him, that Bible says that the ones that believe on Him shall not be ashamed. And we're not ashamed of God, and we're not ashamed of His Word. The Lord has done us a favor, a great favor, by leaving His Word here with us and going through all that He went through in the Scriptures. Everything's there. It tells you where your Bible come from. It tells you. God's Word tells you all that stuff. All you got to do is get in there and read and just study and just give God, just honor the Lord. Everybody thinks it's so burdensome to get into God's Word. It's not burdensome to be in God's Word. It's burdensome to stay in it, because the enemy, everything in this world, and the enemy and the devil and your flesh tries to fight to get you out of it. But when you just go ahead and get through all that and say, I don't care what tries to keep me from getting in the Word of God, I'm staying. And you're not ever going to be sorry that you studied God's Word, not in sincerity and not in truth. But just don't get wrapped up in all that mess and let people talk you into getting all messed up in that Greek and Hebrew and all that kind of stuff. If you speak English, study English. Huh? If you speak English, look up the definition of words in English. God speaks English. He gave us a book written in English. Yes, He did. I got one. I got a copy of it. It's right here in front of me. And it's just as inspired as the originals, they call it. The original autographs, which was no such thing. There ain't never been no original Bible. All of them put together at once. There was original writings, but they're long gone. They got pieces of them and this, that, and the other and stuff like that. But you get all mixed up in that mess, and your salvation ain't got nothing to do with with that kind of mess. And I guess my biggest problem with that kind of, and we're getting into this right here, but I'm just trying to give you a little bit of, trying to exhort you a little bit to stay away from that mess. Don't get involved in it, and don't argue with nobody about it, and don't make no apologies. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord what His Word is. Say, Lord, is this King James Bible Your Word, and is it inspired, and should I stake my soul on these words right here? And whatever He tells you, follow. And don't let any man change your mind. Period. And you'll be all right. You'll be all right. It ain't let you down before. God's Word ain't never let me down. And I ain't never, the Lord's kind of safeguarded me, because I'm kind of person that says that if God is powerful enough to, I ain't never doubted that God was able to put His words down in a book and keep them like He said He was going to, and that God's words are alive. His breath gave life to man. God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. If His breath can make you live and make you a living soul being, then you don't think His words are powerful like that? That His words can sound? Let me tell you something. God's words are alive. They're alive. Just besides the Bible itself saying that it's alive, it liveth and abideth forever, it testifies in people's lives. You're listening to one. God's Word changed my life and saved my life more than I got fingers and toes, and keeps me straight. And it ain't never lied to me. It ain't never lied to me. I hate being lied to, don't you? Especially when it comes to eternal things. You're talking about my soul, man. You're talking about where I'm going to spend eternity. And guess what? When that trap door opens and you fall into eternity, you better have it right. And the only way you're going to have it right is if you witness with the Spirit. God the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. All you got to do is ask God, and when He gives you a piece about what His Word is, nail it down and don't listen to nothing else. Okay? All right, but on this study right here, we used the King James Bible unashamedly. And we don't make no big deal about it. We're not, we do make a big deal about it because God's Word is a big deal, but we're not going to argue with nobody about it. This study studies God's Word. And that's what we believe. Without apology. Okay? So let's just get on into our study again. We're talking about what heaven is like, and we're talking about what God's Word says about heaven. And remember when we very first started, we talked that the Bible teaches that there's more than one heaven. It uses heaven in a plural form, and we counted them, and it looks like it comes out to about three different heavens the Bible describes. One is, remember what the first one was? The first one was where the firmament is, where the birds fly, right? And then beyond that, the one that you can see at night, when the first one disappears, that is amazing to me. When the first heaven disappears and the second heaven appears every single night before your eyes, and when it appears, unless it's cloudy, of course, but it appears, then that's called the second heaven, according to the Scriptures. And that's where the stars and the moon and the sun and everything, what we refer to as space, where the planets are and everything like that. And then beyond that, the Apostle Paul testified that there is a third heaven that he got caught up into. And the Apostle John, he said the same thing, that there was a third heaven and they called it paradise. Or at least Paul did, called it paradise, and said that there's some things up there that you want to stay right with the Lord, and you want to believe on Jesus, and you want to get your name written in the book of life, because you're going to want to be there. It's unspeakable. You can't even talk about it. It's so wonderful. And that's what God's Word tells us about heaven. The Bible does not declare or have any part in it where it just says, okay, this is what heaven's like. This is the chapter on heaven, and this is what heaven's like. Number one, it doesn't do that, but it gives us a lot of evidence about what heaven's like and what we can expect. And I just think that the Lord done us a favor because he knew how stupid it was going to get down here and how man's nature is. And if man knew anything about heaven, he'd sell tickets. You see? what was the first thing that man asked when he seen the miracles that the apostles were performing? Whenever somebody got saved and they put their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost, that was in the transitional period there in Acts. Remember that? What was the first thing he asked him? He said, how much do you want? He said, sell me the power that you got that I can lay hands on people and they can receive the Holy Ghost. He had money in mind. And Peter told him, remember what he told him? He said, thy money perish with thee, for thou hast thought that the gift of God can be purchased with money. And then he repented and said he was sorry and asked Peter to pray for him so God wouldn't kill him. Amen. But it's amazing. God's word is amazing, and we got everything to look forward to, brothers and sisters. You don't have, man, get your mind off of this world. The Lord gives us permission to do that. People think you're kooky walking around thinking about heaven and thinking about things above, but then let them think you're kooky because the Lord said for us to do it, and he gave us instructions and orders to do it. Set not your affections on things on this earth, but set them on the things above, where moth and rust does not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. We talked about what is heaven like, and that was on the last one. And we never did come up with a solid definition. We come up with some evidence that God's very presence is in heaven. God's very presence is in heaven. Now, it says, the Bible tells us in Isaiah and 1 Corinthians 2:9, if you remember, that there's no way for us to adequately describe it. So let's move into today's subject. What is the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? Remember the Apostle John, when we was reading about him on that last one, he said that he seen the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven, the city of God. Let's study about that some. Let's look it up and see, and look up the in the scriptures and see what God says about this. What is the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? Well, according to John chapter 14, verse 2, what we have read before, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So what's it going to be like? Well, it's going to be, the Lord said that it's going to be like what the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind for a place for you. Now, you can imagine an architect, the Lord, in the beginning God, created. And all the beautiful things that we can see down here on this earth right now, and everywhere we look, and the beautiful things that we can see if we just look and open our eyes and look at creation through creation eyes rather than idiotic evolution eyes, lies. And they are lies, by the way. They're big, fat lies. There's I ain't even going to say anything about evidence. They've been proven wrong. So many scientists have proven that garbage wrong. And they just keep on and keep on with it. Ignore it and think of it as stupid, because that's exactly what it is. I didn't come from no stinking monkey. Did you? And whenever they prove something, they change it. And they can't figure out how many millions and millions and millions of years. I mean, so one guy sit over here and say 50 million years. Another guy over here will say 175 million years. Well, that's a difference of 125 million years. Two different guys can't agree a little closer than that? Nah, I ain't even got to think about that being stupid. I've seen a lot of stupid things, but that I ain't never thought that was right. And you shouldn't either, because your Bible doesn't teach it. It said, in the beginning, God created. And all the beauty that the Lord has down here, and He spoke it into existence and thought it in His mind and in His heart and said, I want to make that little flower. Then He made that flower. And then He said, I'm going to make another flower just like this. And He made that flower. And all the intricate little lines and the shape of the leaves and the colors of them and all the mixed colors and how they, I mean, all the animals and stuff like that. And you just look at all that stuff. The Lord is some kind of creationist. He is some kind of designer. He really, really is. And you got to give Him praise for it. I mean, I just see some things sometimes and I just say, Lord, that is so pretty. And You are so wise that You could just think that up. We're talking about a God that said, that made all of that. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you. What is heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? With an architect like the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't think he going to make you something special is what's going to happen. What's the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? Well, it's currently being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Out of all the things that He said He was leaving to the apostles, that was one of the only ones, I think, that He said He was leaving for. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what He said. So, what's the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? Well, it's going to be like we're going to have a place, all of us, that the Lord Jesus Christ designed and prepared for us individually. What else? Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 10, the Bible says, for He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. That's either right or wrong. My Bible says it's right. Because I got a God that backs it up that's never lied to me. And He give it to me in written form, and you too. And there it is. Said He's gone to prepare a city for us. It tells us that the builder of this great city is God Himself. That's what it says. You say, well, what do I believe? You believe that. That God is building a city and the Lord Jesus Christ is up there preparing a place for you. What's it going to be like? It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be, just I'm glad the Lord said that it wasn't going to be like nothing down here. Because if I thought that something up there in heaven was going to be like any of this garbage down here, that'd be kind of depressing, wouldn't it? Do you know of anything down here beside the people that you love that's going to go up there with you that you'd want to take with you from here? Excuse me. All this corruptible garbage? It ain't nothing but trash. Everything wears out. All we do is spend a life down here making messes and cleaning up messes. Make a mess and clean a mess up. That's it. When you get that one cleaned up, make another mess. Nah, I ain't taking nothing. Matter of fact, when I go out of the house, somebody offers me something, I say, no, I don't want nothing. As a matter of fact, every time I come out of the house, I try to take a handful out. I ain't setting up a house down here for nothing. What else? What is heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? Well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 16, listen to this. And the city, talking about the city that come down from God that John was talking about, and this is him talking about it. And the city lieth four square. Okay, so the city is a square, is like a square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So if you took a box, that's a square, just a square box that's equal on one side, equal on the other side, and equal on the top, equal on the bottom, just a square that's equal all the way around. You can imagine the city being like that. It said it's a square. It's four square. And then it said that the length is as long as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, and it ended up being 12,000 furlongs on one side, and all the sides are the same length. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So do a little math, and 12,000 furlongs, of course, he's talking about nautical miles and or nautical feet and stuff like that. I guess furlongs is a Navy or a fisherman's kind of language. I never say furlongs. It's about 5 furlongs to Walmart. I use miles. So he kind of done the math on that and come to find out that 5 furlongs comes out to about 1 kilometer. And I don't even use kilometers. It says there's about 8 furlongs to a mile. 8 furlongs to a mile. 5 furlongs for a kilometer, or a kilometer, kilometer, a kilometer. So you take 12,000 and do the figures. That comes out to about 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles in length, 1,500 miles in breadth, and 1,500 miles in height. A city, 4 square, 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles. That's a big city. Brother Ken Hovind, a Christian brother of ours, you ought to go look at his website, Creation Science. He's a scientist, and if you hadn't already, and he uses creation and debates with all these evolution people and these scientists and everybody else. He's a pretty smart fellow, and uses the scriptures to prove evolution wrong, and also, or to prove creation and to prove the Lord and to prove God. And he was talking about that. He said, well, that's a big city, but you think all of us are going to fit in it? Well, he said that this thing about the world getting too small for people, we're pushing about 10 billion people on the earth. Well, when the Lord, Noah and them got off the ark, the Lord, first thing the Lord told them was, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Fill it up, spread out, get away from each other, and make babies, and fill this earth up. Well, Brother Hovind done some calculating, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, in one of his seminars, he's got some seminars. You ought to get them things and listen to them. They're pretty neat. You got a lot of truth in them. But he said that you could take every person in the United States, I think he said, every person in the United States, it might have been the earth, I'm not sure. I think it's the United States. And put them in Jacksonville, Florida, and everybody would have a square mile or something like that. I can't remember, but that's a bunch of hogwash about things being crowded on this earth by itself. Now, this city is just going to be for a particular kind, a particular people, and that's the bride of Christ, saved, born again, children of God. This city has been built for us, and it's 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles. That's going to be something to see, isn't it? What is the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? It's going to be big. And it's going to be prepared by the Lord. It's going to be built by God. And in the same verse, right there in Revelation 21:21, the Bible says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." So up in heaven, the streets are built of gold, and it's such pure, such of purity, that it's transparent. You can see through it. Remember that sea of glass we was talking about? I don't know if that's it, but it says it's gold and it's transparent. And it says that in the four square that it is, it says there's three gates on each side. Now remember, this thing is 1,500 miles square. So there's going to be three gates on each side of it. And every several gate, it's going to be a pearl gate, but it's going to be one pearl that's going to be this gate. I believe it's going to be a gigantic pearl with pearl gates on it, and it's going to be beautiful. I mean, a pearl. God makes gates out of pearls. Can you imagine the oyster? Or no, an oyster clam. Good thing I ain't making pearls, huh? Isn't that something? 12 gates, 1,500 mile square city for the bride of Christ. Streets of gold, literally, transparent, that's so pure. And the gates are built out of pearls. What's it going to be like? It's going to be beautiful. Now, I can wrap my mind around that, can't you? I can wrap my imagination around some of these things the Lord's told us tonight. But this is Bible. This is what God said. This is going to come to pass, just like your salvation did. And just like the promise that God's going to keep you saved all the way to the end until you're with Him. And you can't lose it. Well, you can't lose this either. This is something the Lord's preparing for you because you're part of the bride of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Now, down here on earth, man thinks that gold, thinks of gold as the most valuable thing that he can possess. Too bad your president took it all away from you years ago, huh? And then took the silver away. And then took the brass away. Now you walk around with coins made out of some kind of junk metal. Ain't got no value to it at all. But we ain't got to worry about that up there. The gold they paved the streets with. Or God speaks it into the street. In this city that God's making, where we are promised to live, God paves the streets with gold. He also says that the gold is so pure that it's as transparent glass. Praise His beautiful, beautiful, beautiful creative mind the Lord has. And these are some of the things that the Lord has told us. What's the city going to be like? In Revelation 21, 24, well, who's going to inhabit the city? Well, we see what's the city, what's the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? Well, we've seen that. The Lord's preparing it, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the city of God. It's 1,500 miles square by square by square. It has 12 gates that are built of one single pearl per gate. And the streets are made of gold that's so pure that it's transparent. That's enough to keep us going, isn't it? I'm looking forward to it. There ain't nothing down here that pretty. Man, that's why the Lord didn't tell us that much. Don't you see it? If could you imagine what would happen if the Lord was building a city 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles down here, and what man would have in his mind and in his heart if the city was going to be one pearl per gate and 12 gates, and the city, and it was made by transparent gold and everything. Could you imagine if man was involved in trying to build that? Excuse me. Well, he's not, praise the Lord. Man ain't gonna have nothing to do with this. The Lord's building it. And we get to live in it. We get to live there. We get to live there. Who's going to inhabit the city? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. In Revelation 21, verse 24, it says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." Revelation 21, 27 says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." If you've been born again, your name is written in there. But notice what's not going to be in there, the Lord said. There's nothing going to be defiling in this city. You're not going to be able to find anything that defiles in that city. Anything that works abominations that would make God vomit, it's not there. And anybody or anything that makes a lie or tries to make something a lie is not there. It's a city of truth. It's a city of righteousness and cleanliness. It's a city that is not defiled. And it's a city where everybody that is in it, his name is in one book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it says. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. I believe it, don't you? I believe it. Who's going to be in that city? Everybody's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's going to be there. Now, the Jews are going to be in Jerusalem physically, literally, with Jesus ruling and reigning there during the millennium. Well, let's just find some other stuff out here. So far, we've talked about what's the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like. Nothing we can imagine. Just by what we've been over in the scriptures, we can barely just put that together. 1,500 mile square city by breadth, by height, and by length. 12 gates, and every several gate made of one individual pearl. A gigantic pearl like that, it's going to be tremendous to look at. And pearls are beautiful. And when we talked about God's throne and seeing God's throne in heaven, remember the rainbow that went around it, and it was and talking about all the colors, the emerald colors and things like that. Can you imagine how beautiful you see a pearl down here and how it reflects all other different colors and puts out special effects in it and stuff like that, and how it, the colors are so special in a pearl. Can you imagine in heaven, in those gates? And that's not all. Who's going to inhabit it? The nations of them that are saved. The Bible says in Revelation 21:24, and it says in Revelation 21:27, they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So according to the Bible, are you going to be in that city? Yes, you are. How come? Because you're born again, you're saved, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Well, how do you know that? Well, our God just said it. How do we know it's true? Because we know that God's word is true. Thy word is truth. And we believe the book. And we go by the book. We don't go by what people say. We don't go by what man says. We don't go by the originals. We don't go by Greek or Hebrew. I understand this completely in English, don't you? We believe God and what God has said. And there was nothing confusing about any of it at all so far. What else? Well, what's going on? We see so far what the heavenly Jerusalem is going to be like, who's going to inhabit it. But what's going to be missing there? What's going to be missing in the heavenly Jerusalem? Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, it gives us the most detailed description of our future home. We just got through reading some of it. And, of course, like any real estate, advertisement, you have to actually see it before you can fully appreciate it. And Paul said so also, that I can't tell you how it's going to be. I mean, here's some things about the city. It's the gates are going to be gold. The foundations are going to be 12 different foundations, and it goes on into that, and the colors and what they are and what names are written in them and things like that. But what's not going to be there? Well, let's see what the Bible says. In Revelation chapter 21. And verse 4, the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." The former things are passed away. What we're talking about now, this is pretty. I can wrap my mind around that, because we're involved in all those former things right now. And what are they? Death. Somebody dies every single day. You probably know somebody that has died and been involved in death some way, form, or somehow or another. Death is part of being here in the world. What else? Sorrow. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine a city to where nobody dies ever again. I mean, I can think of it, and I can believe it, because that's what God says. But I ain't never been no place where everybody lives forever. And I can't get my mind in the frame of mind of that. You see why God, we're not able to know these things. Because we're still involved in the former things. Death, sorrow, no more sorrow. There's not going to be any sorrow in this city. Crying, nobody's going to cry there. I don't know how that's going to be, because there's going to be so much joy. I think there's going to be tears, but I don't think that's the kind of crying that the Lord's talking about. I'm not sure. It says, nor crying. It says, neither shall there be any more pain. We can get along with that, can't we? No pain ever, ever again. That's why the Lord tells us, chin up. Chin up for the Lord. It says it's all going to be worth it. For He careth for you. And there's not going to be anything that defiles or anything that makes a lie. There's not going to be any more death. No sorrow there. No crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. How come? Because the former things, what former things? When we lived on earth and we put up with all that stuff, death, sorrow, crying, that's what man's trying to do right now. Figure out how to get rid of all that stuff. But he can't. The Lord's already provided a way out of it. And if you don't want to go that route, figure out it. Keep trying, brother, because it ain't going to happen. You're going to die and go to hell. It's either the Lord's way or no way. And I think the Lord's got the better way, don't you? I don't think so. I'm glad the Lord saved me. I'm glad I'm part of His family. I'm glad He adopted me. Aren't you? Sure you are. Can't imagine a place what's not going to be there. No death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain. For the former things are passed away. Revelation 21, verse 22 says, and I saw no temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There's not going to be a temple there. The Jews in Jerusalem always have a temple. David built a temple that tabernacle is what they called it, but it was a temple. At that time, they'd take it down, put it up, take it down, put it up. But when Solomon got there and built that foundation temple and built it, it was there. And then it got tore down. They built another one, got tore down, built another one. And the Lord's going to build one more in Jerusalem, literally, visibly, physically. It's going to be there. But in the New Jerusalem, there's no temple. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. It's going to be neat. I don't know how to explain that to you. We just believe God's word. It says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We can try to figure that out any way we want to figure it out, but we just take it for what it says. And believe what it says. It's going to be good, isn't it? Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, the next verse says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Wow. What else? Revelation chapter 21, verse 25 says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. The closest you can get to something like that's in Alaska. No night. They have the longest no night times up there, from what I understand. But in this city, there's not going to be any night. If there's no night, then there'll be no children of darkness, right? And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Why are they talking about shutting the gates? Because every city, at a certain time at night, they would shut the gates to the city. And all the business people and everybody that wanted to go in and out would have to go through a little bitty door or something like that. But the gates would be shut at a certain time to keep the city safe. But you're not going to have to protect this city, because God himself is going to be there and the Lamb's going to be there. And ain't nobody going to be able to come in there do any kind of foolish stuff. So they don't need to shut the gates, because ain't nobody like that allowed in there. We just read that. What else? Well, let's see. Revelation 22, verse 5. It says, "And there shall be no night there." There it is again. "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Wow. No night. The Lord's going to be our light. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Aren't we honored to be the servant of the living God? These people down here got servitude and servants all mixed up. They think slave when you hear servant. They need to read their Bibles and find out that servants were very privileged and well thought of people in the Scriptures. Abraham had servants' children born in his house, and he didn't even have a son himself. The servants were very taken care of and unashamed. As a matter of fact, that's where an earring in a man comes from. If a servant had done his amount of time and was going to be, had the ability to be a free man and not be under service of his master anymore, but he said he loved his master and he had his wife and had his children and everything else, and he wanted to continue and just live there and serve his master forever, they would take and put his ear against a wall and take an awl and drive a hole through and put a ring in his ear. And that represented that he was a forever servant for his master. Doesn't mean that no more. Not nowadays. Some strange things go with men's earrings nowadays. But either way, "And there shall be no more curse." No more curse. What curse? Well, the earth is cursed. The animal kingdom's cursed. You are cursed with a curse. Jesus was cursed for us. The curse. The curse. What curse? The curse of sin. The curse on humanity and all creation. Even the creatures are cursed and waiting to be delivered, the Bible says. There'll be no more curse. I don't know how to live without being cursed. We're all cursed. We're sinners. Until you leave that body, I mean, the only part of you that is not cursed is God the Holy Ghost and your soul and your spirit are not cursed. They're separated from your body. Your body's still cursed, though. Your flesh is cursed. That's why it's going back to the dirt and it's going to die, unless the Lord changes it and removes the curse at the rapture. But either way, you're going to be resurrected and there'll be no more curse, because you're going to receive a new body, fashioned like unto his glorious body, which does not bear a curse. Isn't that good? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We got all kinds of stuff to look forward to about heaven. Your heavenly home, Zion. Your heavenly home. All right. Well, I think what we're going to do is stop right there, and we'll have one more recording. We have just a little bit more to talk about. But the things that we've talked about today are pretty neat, ain't they? I think they are. What's it going to be like? Well, the Lord's preparing it. The Lord Jesus Christ preparing it. That's enough said right there. I mean, the Lord being the Son of God and Him being the Word before He came down and took on flesh, and the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one, preparing you a place. Talking about how big it was and how square it is. Square, the city is square, 1,500 miles square in all directions. Said the builder of the city is God Himself. The city has 12 gates, three on each side. All of them made of one pearl. I can't wait to see that. The same verse in that tells us that the streets of the city are made of pure gold. And just in case you didn't know what purity is, it's transparent. I've heard some people talk about when they purify gold and stuff like that, that the more you purify it over and over and over and over and over, pretty soon it starts getting transparent. You can see through it. I had never seen any. I never had no gold. Don't need any. The Lord's preparing us some, isn't He? And paving the streets with it. It said the nations are going to be in there that are saved. And it said also that those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those are the ones that are invited. That's who the city is for. It said that the city come down as a bride. It showed the Lamb's bride as a bride adorned for her husband, the bride of Christ. That's us. And what's going to be missing in the city? My, oh my. What's going to be missing? Well, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow. Now, wait a minute. You say, how do you know this stuff, brother? Because we read it in God's Word. It's there. Look at the verses and believe them. You don't have to ask nobody their opinion or get any proof from anybody. You got proof. You got it written from God, documented right there in front of you. He's going to wipe all the tears away from the eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Because those are the former things that we're bearing right now. There's not going to be a temple there, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb's going to be the temple of it. And it says it's not going to need a sun or a moon to shine in it, for the glory of God's going to light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And said that the gates are not going to be shut in that city, because there's not going to be a night. There's not going to be nighttime there. You say, well, how are we going to sleep? I don't know. Maybe, I know the people up in Alaska, I don't even know if you need sleep there. I don't know. But it says there ain't going to be no night. I can sleep in the daytime if the Lord wants me to. Maybe with them new bodies, you're not going to have to sleep. I don't know. But it's neat, ain't it? It's neat. And if the Lord can make one of those beautiful flowers that has smell to it like a rose, and you can just reach down there and smell that rose and look at the beauty and the design of it and just how perfectly that thing is made and all of them are different, and just put a perfume in a flower, can you imagine what He can do or is doing? And He said that you can't even imagine what I'm doing for y'all. But He left these things down here for us to look at. It's going to be wonderful. I mean, I can't jump up and do cartwheels. I couldn't do a cartwheel. handstands and clapping and everything else. But we can praise our God for leaving it in writing for us and giving us. I can say this is real, and this is I'm going to see this with my own eyes and hear it with my own ears, and I'm going to have it in my heart one day. And to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So we're going to be with Him one way or the other. One way or the other. And it said there's not going to be any night there. You ain't going to need a candle. You're not going to need electricity. You're not going to need lights. You're not going to need solar panels. You're not going to need all that kind of stuff. Because the Lord God gives the light there. And He's going to, and said that we're going to reign forever and ever. We're going to rule and reign with the Lord. And there's not going to be any more curse. No more curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb is going to be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. Amen. I'm going to serve Him because I want to. Ain't you? And it's just going to be so wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We got everything to look forward to. We're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? You don't know whether to keep your pencil as much as I forget, huh? All right, well, here we go. John chapter 14, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 and 16. Revelation chapter 21, verse 16. Revelation chapter 21, verse 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 24. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. And then 21, verse 23. And then 21, verse 25. And then Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. And those are the ones that we have read and studied today. And praise the Lord for His wonderful word. Well, we're going to talk about it on the next one. You've probably already asked the question or thought of it. What are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do in heaven? What's the Bible say? What does God's Word say that we're going to do in heaven? Hey, you know what? We know what's going to be missing there. You know what else? We know who's going to inhabit it, the city. You know what else? We know what it's going to be like. Kind of, sort of, what the Lord's told us. I can give you the dimensions of it. I can tell you who's building it. I can tell you what the roads are made out of. And I can tell you what the gates are made out of. You can too. But what are we going to do in heaven? Does the Bible say anything about that? Well, we're going to find out. I bet that's one of those things about some of it that you can't talk about. But, I mean, we got eternity. Eternity. And do you make plans in heaven? I think the only reason people make plans is because of time, isn't it? I'm not sure. A lot of things to think about, huh? But we're going to talk about these last things. I think we'll probably wind it up on the last one, this next one. And we'll talk about what shall we do in heaven? And can I have heaven on earth? Can I have heaven on earth? Kind of sounds like a contradiction there, doesn't it? But we will go over those on the next one. And we'll talk about some more about Zion, your heavenly home. It's pretty neat stuff, isn't it? Praise the Lord that it's true. Praise the Lord it's from our Savior, and that it's going to come to pass, and that we can hope in it and believe it and claim it as our own. Amen. Well, I'll talk to you on the next one. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian growth. Bye-bye.